Thank God for such a beautiful worship service. They sang that song, "I Pledge Allegiance to the Lamb." I felt like standing. I need to stand on our precious words. We're in a war. We know there's a war going on for the souls of men. Turn your Bibles to Revelation chapter 12. Reading in verse 7. "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. They prevailed not." Praise God. "Neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death." There's a war over the souls of men. I thought of a verse in John where it says, "He that loveth his life shall lose it. He that hateth his life shall find it." Here it says, "They loved not their lives unto the death." Every day, Brother Daniel, Sister Christy, love not your life unto death. I think of time when that war raged over my soul. Of course, I didn't see it that way at that time. But it was there. I grew up a born in an Amish home here in the county. Had parents who were godly as far as they knew how to be. I loved life. The child, young boy, was taught right and wrong, good and evil. I was taught that day would come when I would join the church and be baptized. Then if I would be faithful in doing good to the end, I would then be saved. We read the Bible in our homes. We had Bibles there. I read quite a bit of God's Word. I was sought for God in my youth. Nevertheless, that day came that I turned 16, was loosed, in a sense, to go out, to go with the youth and into all kinds of sin. God in His mercy still was watching over me. I know He was. I'd like to this morning, if I could, just share my personal testimony of how God has worked in my life. I know many of you have probably heard that already, but most of you haven't. So I felt led of God to share that this morning. I trust that He will make it a blessing for you. I desire that He would get all the glory and the honor. Not of works, lest any man should boast. In my youth, I did want to do what was right, but the company I was in was not the best. But I soon, I knew that that was not the answer. I knew that sin was not the way to go. Of course, I thought in my mind I was a pretty good fellow. I didn't know of God's standards of holiness, but I measured myself according to the others around me, and I thought I was pretty good. I wasn't quite as wicked as some, so I thought. My friends began to get married, and I kind of got left alone, it seemed, seeking for something to spice up my life. Life was kind of dull, you know. Didn't know the Lord. So I got involved in a volunteer fair company, which that made some excitement every once in a while. And I also got involved in the volunteer ambulance service there, close to where I worked. And through that and a series of events, I met my wife there. Actually, that's where I first seen her and began to recognize her, began to see her. And of course, she was not with our youth group, and I had no interest in her, so I thought, but my God was working differently there. One Sunday, one of my best friends told me about a girl he was trying to see, and she didn't want to see him. And at the Sunday or so later, he told me she's leaving the Amish church. I'd been baptized when I was 19, and was kind of surprised that there wasn't more to it. I was thought surely something should happen with all my sins, but of course it didn't. I was a member of the church, and I was very sincere. I was earnestly trying to do what was right. This young man came to me one Sunday, and he told me about this girl. She's leaving the Amish church, and I said, I know who that is. And I said, I think she'll be at our ambulance meeting on Monday night. I said, I'll try to talk her into coming back to the Amish church. So after we had our ambulance meeting that night, and she was there, and I went to her afterward, and I started talking to her about her leaving the church. That was the ultimate sin, leaving the church. When you leave the church, you get put in a ban. And a ban was a fearful thing. It cut off. But she heard my cry that night, and she listened and allowed me to talk to her. And I actually took her home that night. I wouldn't get out of my buggy, just sat there and cried. I was of course trying to persuade her to come back to the Amish church. And she was very mixed up at that time. Some of her family was already saved and had left the church years before, and it had influenced her, and she'd heard some of the gospel. I didn't know how to bring her to Christ. I knew how to bring her back to Amish church, it seemed, but I didn't know how to bring her to Christ. The Lord knew all that. She decided to come back to Amish church, and we ended up getting married about 6 months later. God did bring us together. It was a real joy to our hearts, and God has given us a beautiful marriage. I can say that. My father bought a farm for us that fall, that winter. In the spring of 82, we moved on the farm there and began farming. That was my dream, the farm. Own a farm. Have a farm reaching my children someday. I was very zealous. That farmhouse was a doubled house. It was a what they call a dotty house on the other side where the grandpa would live. We'd bought the farm there, and so we moved in, and the other end of the house was empty. Normally, we would have liked to have an Amish family move in there, so we would agree together, of course, in faith. But no one seemed to want to move in. One day, I went back up to the store where my wife used to work there at Kaufman's Fruit Farm, and I mentioned something to Dave Kaufman there and said, "Hey," I said, "you don't know of someone who's looking for a place to rent, do you?" I thought maybe they'd have some Mennonites who'd want to rent it. Because we needed the rent money, and we were kind of desperate there to help pay for this expensive farm. No, he said he don't know of anyone. A couple days later, I learned Brother Mose was in there fixing a refrigerator, freezer. Just before Brother Mose walked out the door, he turns to this Dave Kaufman, a staying man, and says, "Hey," he says, "you don't know a place to rent, do you? We got a family moving in that wants a place to rent." "Well, yeah," he said, "I do. It's down there in Redwall Drive." "Oh." Brother Mose, he comes in the driveway in hell and wants to rent this property, this house. "Oh, we wanted renters," so he looked through it and handed me the check. So that was okay. I said, "Well, who's coming in?" "Well," he said, they're Christians, don't worry." He said, they're nice people." He said, "you'll like them for neighbors." Well, we found out their names were Denny Kennistons, somewhere from Tennessee. They're moving in on a certain day, and my parents happened to be there that day. My parents were a little fearful, especially when this family pulled in their U-Haul truck loaded their furniture. We're in the kitchen window watching. It was over dinner time, I believe, or something. And Brother Denny crawls out of the driver's seat and has his big blue baby overalls on, a long red beard. And, you know, his wife was dressed in a full modest dress and had her head covered. And my mom had a fit. She told my dad, she said, "Dad, you go find out what they believe. We don't want them living here with Emmanuel's. We don't want them to lead Emmanuel's astray." She had very good concerns, like a mother should have. Well, Dad, he's a little easygoing. He walks over there and greets this new family and shakes their hands and talks with them. And I think he was kind of impressed with them because they even got the rent down $25. Dad came back in the house, and I think Dad had asked them what they believe, and they said, "We believe in being born again. Our names are written in heaven." Well, Dad probably agreed with that. He came back in the house and told us that they believe they think they're saved. They actually believe that they can know they're saved. We were taught you cannot know if you're saved or not. Our doctrine in our church said you cannot know. No man can know if they're saved or not. That's where we were at. I remember my mom, she wanted my dad to pay him back the rent money and ask him to leave. The war raging. Dad said, "I think they're going to be good neighbors. Let them. We'll try them." We found out soon that they were good neighbors. Best neighbors we had ever had seen. Of course, I was very protective. I would not open my heart. This man is not going to lead me astray. Then we found out they're starting a church. And the church people were in and out, and they'd have singings out in the front yard, and we'd hear them preaching through the bedroom walls, and we were kind of sitting tight. I mentioned something to my dad one time, a year or so later, and I said, "Those are neighbors. They're godly people." "Well, Dad," I said, "they have something that we don't have. Dad agreed. He said, yeah, I said, you're right. You do. There's something different about them. I didn't know what that was. I remember the first time we were, of course, want to be neighborly. So we invited them for a dinner one day. I think it was around this time of the year. And they didn't have family to get together at this time of year, so we invited them over to our house. So they all came over and sat down to lunch there that day. And we just had a real good visit, and we'd got to know them pretty well. And my wife had been sick, expecting, and she didn't know much about raising children. And Jackie, she would come with some pills or some medicine and advice, and it was such a joy. My wife and Jackie got along really well. They were good friends. I was like this. But they sat there at our table that day, and I remember so well Brother Denny, he shared his testimony, how they came, and I was just a hippie, you know, and all that, and what God did in their lives, and how he got born again. And he looked at me and he said, well, so, Emmanuel, when did you get born again? Well, I could handle this pretty well, I thought. So I just told him, I said, I was baptized when I was 19, and I kind of grew into it since then. Well, he didn't push his point. It seemed like God gave him such grace, because he could have turned me off just like that. And that's where we as Christians need to be careful, that we don't turn people off. I remember later on one time they gave us a track called Witch Resurrection. There's a picture in the front. It's a nice picture about a religious man who ended up going to hell. It's an awesome track. My wife and I reread that track that night. It scared us. For the first time in our lives, first time in my life, I faced eternity. And I was afraid. But we went to sleep that night and just got about it. Went on with our life. Don't forget, brothers and sisters, when you give tracts to people, pray for them. God would work in their lives. We ended up getting into some kind of embarrassing situations with our neighbors. He went out and preached in the local Minute Market to the Amish young boys there. He was soon known as that preacher that lives back there at Emmanuel's. And they put some pressure on us and said, well, why don't you tell them to move? Well, I said, they're good neighbors. We don't want to tell them to move. So they went and put pressure on my dad. Why do you have those renters at your place? And, you know, he's preaching to our young people. And first year he went and baptized a couple Amish sisters. It was bad. I tried to convince him he did wrong. But he knew better. They lived there for 3 years. They left behind a testimony of Christ. Left behind a testimony of Christ and of the kingdom of God, of salvation, of strength, the power of a godly life. After 3 years, they moved away. We went on with our life. We had two little girls at that time. Farming was going really well. My debts were being paid off. I had a wonderful wife. What more could a man want? And I think of that young man that came to Jesus and he said, what good thing must I do to enter the kingdom? And Jesus said, why callest thou me good? There's none good but God. But he said, if you want to live eternally, he said, keep the commandments. The young man said, I've kept them all. I've kept all the commandments from my youth. What lack I yet? There's something missing yet. You know, I've done all these things, but there's still something missing. That's what I felt like. There was something missing. After they moved away, I kind of let those guards down. I was more on a friendly chat than before. They came back to visit us. We actually went to their place for breakfast one morning and even had devotions with them. Sitting around their living room. I sure hoped they wouldn't get us to kneel. I didn't want to kneel for some reason. He didn't. He said, well, we're going to pray here. So we just prayed in our seats. I was pretty comfortable with that. But you know, I left my guards down. About a year and a half later, one of our friends got converted in a neighboring Amish district. And someone told me that those people are leaving the church. Well, since I had experience in bringing people back to Amish church, my wife, I thought I could go talk to them. So we went to visit this young family. They were a little bit younger than us. My wife knew his wife well. And Brother Aaron and Sister Lydia Ann. And tried to tell him he shouldn't leave the Amish church. Well, he said, we're not leaving the Amish church. But he was all excited about something. He had a note paper. He had his Bible. He had a notebook full of scriptures. He was so excited about the Bible. So excited about Jesus. And I went away from that place shaking my head and thinking, I don't understand. What happened to that man? But it challenged me. I got a small pocket Bible and put it in my pocket. And every chance I had, I began to read that Bible. I was in the fall of 86. We were seeking God and we didn't know it really. But God again had mercy on us. On New Year's, we went back to that young family again and asked some more questions. And he shared his testimony with us. How he got saved. Then I told him about this family that lived with us. I said, they have a church in New Holland. He wanted to know their names. So I gave him the name. Found out later that after we left that day, he went to the phone and called Brother Danny right away and said, we want to come to your church. I didn't want him to go to that church. That's what happened. And about that time, God began to work in my life in a deep way. I felt under such conviction. I was such a miserable man. 2 weeks working in the fields. This was in March. I was out there harrowing, preparing for planting alfalfa, sowing alfalfa, and I was under such conviction. I could still see myself walking back and forth those fields all day long, loaded with sin and guilt. But I didn't know what was wrong. I tried praying. I didn't know how to pray. I tried crying out to God. I didn't know how to cry out to God. But there was such a deep agony in my soul. There was a war was raging over my soul. I didn't see it then like I do now. Finally, one evening, I broke down to my wife and I told her, I said, I'm going to go to our bishop on Saturday night and confess my sins. Maybe that'll take care of this problem I have. And I really didn't know what was wrong, but I felt like I was such a sinner. She did what she'd done before. She got into a difficult place. She'd called Jackie. She went and called Jackie and told Jackie what I'd said. Well, Jackie convinced her that that won't help anything, that's not going to take away my sin and guilt. So she told me that that's what Jackie said, and I knew that that was true. I had seen men in the Amish church under the load of sin and guilt go to confession, and go through 6 weeks of excommunication and shunning and shaming, and come back to church and be taken up again as a member of the church with the same load of sin and guilt on their lives. I had seen that time and time again. And when my wife said that Jackie said it won't help anything, I knew in my heart it wouldn't help. That was probably around supper time. I was out working in the fields again that evening. If it was dark, I came back in the barn, I was putting horses away, and I saw this car coming in the lane. Somehow I knew who it would be. Well, Dennis showed up there and very friendly and greeted me. And he was very upfront. He said, "Jackie said your wife called, and I'm just wondering if maybe I could come and share with you something." Well, I finished up choring and went in the house, and he opened up the gospel, opened up his Bible, brought the Word of God to us, got us on our knees, got us to confess our sins, some of them, surface ones, and prayed for us, prayed with us, led us in a prayer. Nothing happened. So he left, went home again. Must have been a day or so later, this other Amish family that started going to charity church, they stopped in one day. I was at home. I walked out to their carriage kind of cautiously because I knew they'd left the church by now. And I didn't even invite them in. They just sat in their buggy and they talked a little bit and they said, "We were at those meetings, revival meetings." He said, "I never heard anyone preach like that before." He said, "You ought to come here and preach." In my heart, I desperately wanted to go, but I couldn't. I'm Amish. Can't go. It was a disappointing feeling. They left anyhow. And I think it was the next day at noon or so that Danny and Jackie came by again. They got my wife and I on our knees again. We confessed the more sins. I mean, these were really big sins now, you know. The stuff that's hidden down your heart. The stuff that has never been brought out. You know, the kind of things that you don't even want to talk about. You try to hide them. Those kind of sins begin to come out. I remember so well, Brother Denny, there beside me by the couch. I was praying, confessing my sins. And he said, "Lord, show Emmanuel he'd split hell wide open if he died tonight." And I thought, "Hell? Me? No. I'm Amish. Amish people are good people. Amish people go to heaven." And I just got done confessing some of the vilest sins. I don't understand how blind sinners can be. I was blind. I was blind. My wife's heart was wide open. She was receiving all those things. They gave us that track again, which resurrection track, when he went out the door. And they said, "Read in the book of John." Of course, we were searching for the answer. We read that track again. It brought back those memories. It was so real. It was facing us with our sin and the reality of the consequences of sin. This man who died and immediately faced eternity, facing the judgment throne and being cast out, even though he had done all these good things in church, because he had never been born again. I turned to the Bible, opened up the book of John, and opened up in John chapter 9. That's the story of the blind man. And God in His mercy revealed that chapter to me. He opened that chapter. And I saw, I am the blind man. I'm blind. And I read the rest of the chapter and I saw how how this blind man's eyes were open. And he could see. And then I saw the persecution that came. And I saw that I was going to, that was exactly where I was going to go. Somehow I knew that I was not saved. But I knew that. I ministered that chapter to my heart at that time. I think that must have been on a Friday. Saturdays, they were having meetings every night that week, and the power of God was falling upon this county here, and souls were getting saved, and people were getting right with God, and conviction had fallen on many people, and I was one of them. Thank God. They wondered if they can bring the evangelist out Saturday morning. Well, I said, yeah, I guess. I was kind of nonchalant. Saturday morning came around and I was out in the field plowing. Just, you know, out from the house, like right out here, just plowing the fields, and they came in the lane and kind of waited until I got to the end and turned my horses around and left the horses set there, and I came back to the house and said hello to them and went inside, and we began to hear again the Word of God laid out, and things like Colossians was laid out, the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of God, and how that we can be translated from one kingdom into another kingdom. The kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. And he drew this thing on the board, you know, two circles on the board. We have a kingdom over here, and we have a kingdom over here, and we're here in the dark kingdom now, and over here is the kingdom of light. And we have to get from this one to this one. And I mean, it was a good illustration, but I didn't know how to get there. I wanted to. You know, then you draw this cross here. That's the way to get there. But I didn't know how to get there. They tried their best to show us repentance and faith in Christ. And I so badly wanted that. But I didn't know how to get that. We got on our knees to pray again. I checked the horses, you know. They're getting kind of restless. It took about an hour, 2 hours. Brother Denny, he was with the evangelist, and he said, I'll go take care of the horses. You pray. He saw I needed to be, you know, I don't need to worry about them now. But we got on our knees and we started praying. He came running in the door and said, the horses are running away. And they were. They were right out through the field. The plow was in the ground, making a big circle, coming back toward the barn. I ran up out there and managed to jump in behind them there, and I caught the reins and I managed to get them stopped in the midst of my much trembling. Now I was shook up. What is happening? The war was raging. The war was raging over my soul. My hands shook so much I could hardly tie the horses. And I knew, I thought I knew, God doesn't want me to pray with these men. These men are of the world. We're Amish. And I don't want these men to pray with me anymore. I got back in the house, and the evangelist, he was so excited. He said the devil was out there with his pitchfork that time. Now, I thought it was God. He thought it was the devil. And I was confused. The war was raging. We got on our knees and prayed, and they lost me. I was not on the hook anymore. I prayed a prayer and said, I'm saved now. And zip, out the door they went. Just like that. I could still see them. They went out so fast. But I wanted them out there. I was done, I thought. That was on a Saturday. A very rough day for us, wife and I. We didn't know what was right. We didn't know what was truth anymore. You see, we're being faced with our whole system of religion. Either these people in the Bible are right, or our whole system of religion is wrong. And that's a difficult place to face. But I want to say that if you're in religion today, and you're seeking Christ, you have to lay down your religion before you come to Christ. Not me, Lord, I'm Amish. Amish go to heaven. Went to the Amish church the next day, and our neighbors, and I told my wife, I know they're going to be preaching about out of Romans 6 and John chapter 3 this week, this day, and I'm going to listen very closely about the new birth. What is it about the new birth? But our church was very stirred up at that time because this other family had just left the Amish church about the new birth. He had been very bold and outspoken. And so the preachers didn't preach about the new birth. Well, they had to read the scriptures, but they wouldn't comment on them. And I was sitting at the edge of my seat trying to gather any kind of information I could get about the new birth. You see, I still trusted my religion. I still trusted my ministry. Only one of the deacons, in one of the last words he said before church was over, that he said this. New birth is like this, he said. Like the wind. You hear the noise of it. You can't see where it comes from. You can't see where it goes. And so is a man that is born of the Spirit of God. You can't know if you're saved or not. I was on the edge of my seat. When he said that, you can't know if you're born again or not, I relaxed. And I thought, if I can know if I'm born again or not, then I surely must be, for I am such a good person. A war was raging for my soul. He knew these meetings were going on. He went home from church. It was not a surprise to me to see that little car come back in the driveway that afternoon again. About half an hour after we got home, there comes that little car again. Jackie came in and was very friendly. Visited for a while, and we were very friendly. Of course, we didn't show any conviction at that time. Finally, she couldn't hold it anymore. She said, well, I thought I'd stop in and invite you to come to the meeting tonight since you got saved yesterday. I said, look, Jackie, I said, I didn't get saved yesterday. I lied to those men. Can't know if you're saved or not. He begged for us to come to the meeting that night. I knew if I'd give my little finger, she'd take my whole hand. I also knew that if we'd go to that meeting and nothing would happen there, then I knew that it wouldn't matter. No one would get in trouble. I also knew that if we go to those meetings and something does happen, it won't matter what people say anymore. God was working in my life. I said, okay, we'll go with you. So we did. She went away as happy as could be, I'm sure. We did our chores and someone came and picked us up. I forget who it was. We had known quite a bit of the church people because they had been in and out of Denny's there for 3 years. So the church was not new. There was of course some new faces there, but most of the people we probably knew. They were all very glad to see us, I'm sure. The church was praying, Daniel. The church was praying. You know, I'd like to know sometime what you guys really did with us there. I know they carried us in their hearts. We heard a real good message that night. Such a powerful message. I'd never heard a preach like that before. I'd never been in a church like that before. But I was like this. I was like this. Let me encourage you today. If you're like this in your heart, just let it down. Let your guards down. Let the Lord Jesus work in your life. If you don't know for sure if you're saved today, let your guards down. They sang that moving song after the during an invitation, and I didn't understand what was going on, and I was not going to move. I didn't move either. I was proud. I was Amish. They were so friendly. Brother Denny came to me afterwards, sat down beside me, and he just, talked as friendly as could be. And I was this miserable wretch. Finally, he said, "Wouldn't you want some more counsel?" I said, "Yeah," I said, "I would." Went downstairs there in the basement in New Holland. They put me in this room. I was alone for probably half an hour. They were busy with other things, and I just waited. After a while, Brother Mose came in, and he began to share with me and began to show me a few things about my religion that was wrong. And I had some questions. I asked some questions. There had been some people that had left the Amish church that I could not understand why they would leave. People who I knew had been sincere. And I would ask the preachers, or I would ask someone, why did they leave the church? And no one could tell me. Some would hint and say, well, they said they got born again. They think they're saved. I didn't know what that really meant, so I didn't really care, but that was in my background. But I had questions. Why are they excommunicating these people for no sinful reason? And Brother Mose, he began to teach me on that and show me that they're putting the people out of the church when they get born again. And God began to open up my eyes. And I released my people, my religion, my Amish in my heart. I let it go. I knew. I began to realize that being Amish would not save you. And when I realized that, then I had no foundation. I had nothing to stand on. But I still didn't see that I was really lost. Brother Denny came in. Brother Wayne came in. We prayed. Sat up and talked and confessed. And they dug and they searched and they sought God. We prayed some more. And nothing happened. And finally, Brother Wayne said, "The Lord just spoke to me and said, you're involved in witchcraft." I said, "Witchcraft? Not me. Me." "Yeah," I said, "the Lord just showed me you're involved in witchcraft. You know, water witching, kinesiology, muscle testing. You know, what about the Ouija board and me the name, a whole bunch of things." And I'm like, "Yes, yes, yes, yes." The Lord began to open up my eyes. "Well, yeah, I have my great-grandfather, King. Yeah, he was a water witcher. And when I was a little boy, I remember going to his place. And we asked him to take that pliers in his hands and walk across the floor, and he did. That pliers would just suddenly fly out of his hands with power and hit the ground. But water witching. We as little boys, we picked up that pliers and we tried to do it. And we walked right across the same spot. Nothing would happen." Yep, Wayne said, "That's it. I knew it." I said, "What else?" And he looked, we talked about muscle testing, putting some pills in your arm, and having someone try to push your arm down to see if it's the right kind of pills for you, muscle testing. Witchcraft? And what about reading the horoscope in the newspaper? They're next to the funny page where you find your birth date and you measure up line these numbers up with the words and you find out what your horoscope says for the day. Witchcraft. What about the farmer's almanac, planting according to the moon? Witchcraft? And then the Lord showed me that I'd play with the Ouija board. 14, 15-year-old boy, our neighbors had a Ouija board, we played with the game. Didn't mean anything. Wayne was excited by now. I knew you were in witchcraft, and the Lord showed me that. I knew that. You need to repent. You need to confess. Get on your knees and repent to God. Confess it all. And I did. The Lord opened up my eyes. I saw my sinfulness for the first time. And I immediately saw a need for a Savior. And I cried out, "Save my soul, sinner. I'm a wretched sinner. Oh, Lord, save my soul." That old devil was cast out. Power, Christ, real. I confessed, I repented, cried out. I looked at these three men on their knees beside me. And there was an overwhelming love flowing out of my heart for these men. The first thing I said was, "You guys are my brothers." They knew I was born in the family. Hallelujah. It wasn't a big feeling. It was a release. Oh, I wasn't even sure what happened. It took me days and weeks to finally catch up to what God actually did in my life. I remember being on my knees, confessing my sins, and Brother Denny led me to that scripture that says, "I simply forsake father and mother and houses and wives and lands and children and yea, even your own life. You cannot be my disciple." He said, "You need to forsake these things." This was the day before. Well, I said, "Well, how do I do that?" He said, "You just give them to God. Just give them to God. Everything that's precious to you, give them to God." I did that. Prayed that prayer. "Lord, I give you my wife, children. I give you my farm, my cows, my bank account. I give you my family, my church. Lord, I give it to you. In Jesus' name, amen." Wasn't much to it. When I got saved, I knew what I'd done. And they belonged to the Lord. I knew the farm. I knew my family, church, the whole thing. It's clear. Clear as a bell. The line was clearly drawn down the middle. All of a sudden, I was on this side of the fence. It's just so clear. All of a sudden, I was now on the same level as those other Amish people who got excommunicated. Now I knew I was one of them. In spirit, I knew, like the blind man, I would also be excommunicated, put in a ban. I knew that. Did that matter? Not a bit. Joy of salvation, the joy of deliverance, the freedom from bondage, the assurance of salvation. Oh, glory to God. Well, we jumped and shouted some there at church that night. Brother Daniel was one of them. Imagine. And this is probably midnight, 1 o'clock at night. He took us home. And I was a new man. I was a new man. I saw my people were lost. I saw that my people were lost. When I saw that I was lost, then I saw that my people were lost because I was one of them. Then I cried out for a Savior, and I was saved, but my people were not. We went to some more meetings. Praise God, they went for 3 weeks. Went to those meetings. 2 more weeks, just about every night. What a joy. What a blessing. Thank you, Lord. Our hearts got so cleaned up. We were so full of the glory of God. Others were getting saved. Other Amish families were getting saved. It was glorious. It was a revival. Thank You, Lord, for saving me in the midst of that. Thank You, Lord, for touching me in the midst of that. Of course, persecution began to set in. Not really persecution, just opposition, I should say. It wasn't persecution. My parents found out about it. I remember so well the next morning, the day after I got saved, we got to bed late that night, got up late. I was still out milking the cows, probably at 7 o'clock, and that was an hour late. That was terrible. Of course, somebody comes driving in the lane. I thought, well, now that is very unusual. What would that be? It was an Amishman that I knew well, lived a mile up the road. And by the way, our Dolly Inn was empty at that time, and we were looking for renters again. So he came and said his sister's moving that day, or his brother, and they needed a place to move to. He said, would you allow them to move into your house? Well, this couple, I knew them. I wouldn't even consider them having them move into our house. The last Amish couple I would want to have live neighbors to us. But God did a work in my heart. And I said, sure. I said, we'd be glad to have them move in. I was really looking forward to witness to him. And, well, he says, well, okay, we'll have them move in then. And he's ready to walk out of the milk house door. I'm there watching the milkers, and he's ready to go. And I just looked at him and I said, I just want to let you know that I believe the same way that Aaron Byler's do. I got saved last night. He just turned around and he ran away. He was afraid. This awful plague of salvation had fallen upon me. Glory to God! I had so much fun a couple of days, the next couple of days, surprising the Amish people. I was still a normal Amish person to them. They hadn't marked me off yet. And I stopped at a buggy shop picking up my buggy wheels, and it was right across the road from another Amish family that was had gotten saved and was coming to meetings. And I just kind of got my wheels, you know, and paying my bill. And I said to him, well, what do you know about the family and the drive over there? Oh, he said, yeah. I said, I don't understand what's going on. He said, and he just went off talking, you know, talking the kind of gossip type things that go around, things like that. And he said, I just don't understand what they're doing. I don't know why. Why would they do something like that? Looked them in the eyes and I said, I didn't understand either till last night that I got born again. I said, seek and ye shall find. He's like, he was so afraid. I went from his place in the next drive, of course. Went to visit the Amish family that got saved, and we had a grand time just sharing together. That's glorious. Salvation. Full, free, deliverance. Power to witness and a desire to pray, a desire to just share with everyone. I'd be driving down the road with my horse and buggy, you know, kind of slow compared to a vehicle. And people walking along the road, like going through intercourse, going through town there, I just so intently peer in their face. I wonder if he knows the Lord. You know, all right, but does he know the Lord? Of course, some people have their heavy faces, you know, and loaded with sin and guilt. And I knew they didn't know the Lord. And every once in a while, you meet someone with a joy, just a smile, you know. I begin to analyze all my family. Wonder if my dad ever got saved. What about my mom? I don't think they were ever saved. What about my brothers and sisters? Never did. They never told me. What about my uncles, my aunts? All my cousins and dad. No one. None of them had ever witnessed, talked about Christ that I knew of. Salvation. God saved my soul that day. He pulled me out of the miry clay, out of a horrible pit. He set my feet on a rock. And put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. Many shall hear thereof and shall trust in the Lord. When you get saved, many should hear about that and should trust in the Lord. I have to say my family is still not saved. I long that they would come to Christ. But it was very difficult for my family. It was very difficult for the church, the Amish church. They didn't know about it for 2 weeks. They went to church 2 weeks later, after the last meeting was over, and went to church. It was a council meeting, and that's where everything has to come out. And my wife and I had agreed together that if they say that we can't, if they say something about these meetings that were held, because it was quite a stir, people got saved, and quite a stir among the Amish people. And we agreed that morning that if the minister would say something about against these meetings, that we would disagree with the council. And you don't do that. You don't disagree with the council. But they did say something about these meetings and said that anyone that went to those meetings could not go on the communion 2 weeks later. So we both spoke up and said, we don't agree. And the church was shocked. They were shocked. They knew that I was a good Amishman in their eyes, in my eyes. And I know that I was one that was growing up. And, you know, I was pushing and I was in the work and I was doing what was right and I was doing my best. And they knew that. And when I made that sudden switch, they could not understand. My dear wife, she gave her heart to the Lord a couple of days later after I did. We were one. We stood together. We prayed together. Worked together. Thank you, Lord, for a precious wife like her. God bless you, Mama. That Sunday evening, it was Monday evenings, the buggies started rolling in our lane. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Ministers sitting in our living room. Their wives. Granddad was there. He was a deacon. My uncle was there. He was a deacon. They're all sitting in a circle, just visiting. First, I wasn't going to open up and say anything right away. This was heavy stuff. But they opened up and they began to talk and ask questions. And we just shared. And I said, well, yeah, I said, I'm born again. They... Wife and I sat in the corner that night on a little couch and just bawled. Just bawled. Conflict, the war was still raging. Satan had lost one of his servants and was wanting to get him back again. They left us that night just bawling. We cried. We wept. The Word of God was so precious. The Bible opened up. Power. God speaking right to our hearts. Many times I'd look at the Bible, I'd read a verse or two, and I'd just like, that is so powerful. It would minister to my heart. The Word of God is quick and powerful. It really is. If it wouldn't have been for God's Word, we would not have been able to stand. God's Word was so clear, and the Spirit of God was working in our lives. We did face a lot of trials that summer. We had some friends and they'd gotten saved and we were kind of back and forth with them. And Brother Denny in his wisdom asked if he could teach the godly home in our homes that summer. And he did. We met like every Thursday night, every other Thursday night or so. And he came and he taught the godly home to 6 or 7 young Amish couples, small children. What a blessing that was. I remember he preached the first message. After he's done, we fell on our faces and repented. We didn't know better. We didn't know what we were doing. The next time he preached the second message again, and after he's done preaching, we fell on our faces and repented again. And the third time, and the fourth time, 6 messages he gave, every time we'd fall on our faces and repent. But God was teaching us how to raise children. We'd learned some about raising children through the bedroom wall. Denny's lived there. We'd hear these children, you know, we'd hear a squabble over there, and after it, we'd hear this, you know, just slow, calm, whack, whack, you know, whack, 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 whack. I say to my wife sometimes that we learn to train children through the bedroom walls. We did. What an example. Godly example. Thank you, brother. Thank you, Daniel. God bless you as you go. You were a part of it, Daniel. Those children were so godly. And we wanted godly children. They put a vision in our hearts. During that summer, I don't know, it must have been before he was teaching in our homes there. Late that spring, I came to the place where, you know, we were kind of seesawing back and forth. Well, you know, God's working in our lives, but Amish, the pull of our religion, the pull of our system was so powerful. It looked so right on the outside. Our people looked so godly. They looked so humble. Even though we knew the truth now. But the pull of the system was so powerful. There came a day that spring that I told my wife, I said, we're going to take a stand here. We're not leaving the Amish church. We're going to stay here. And we knew that we had to tell them, you know, the charity people, that if they come, we have to tell them to leave because we decided to stay Amish. It was on a Monday morning we decided that. The turmoil, our hearts, back and forth. And that week, a rough week. There was an unrest in my spirit. There was a cloud had come upon me. I didn't know why. I remember so well Saturday, around noontime, this little white Isuzu pickup. I was driving in the lane. Brother Moe sits there and, "Wow, how you doing, Brother Emmanuel? God bless you." "Oh, we're okay. No. We decided we're going to stay Amish, and you guys have to leave." "Oh, you can't do that. That's fornication. That's committing adultery. You've given your life to Christ. You can't do that. You've got to go. You've got to follow Jesus." He preached to me. And he preached some more to me. And I withered. And I repented. And he went back out that driveway and I knew. The cloud had left. My walk with God was clear again. Thank you, Lord. I knew the direction God wanted us to go. Never again did I waver. Well, I see my time is up. God has been good to us. And I know that not everyone's conversion is so dramatic. But it's my heart's desire that if you're caught in religion, if you've been baptized, but you don't have that assurance of salvation, seek God. Seek the Lord. He may be found. Let go of the system and embrace Christ. Embrace Christ. His blood cleanses us from all sin. Washes us through and through. Makes us clean. Makes us pure, makes us holy by His own righteousness. So we kneel for prayer. Father, Abba, Father, with great joy we call upon You. We embrace Your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You, Father, for salvation full and free. We thank You, Father, for the precious blood that was shed for me. We thank You, Father, for the power of Christ, for the strength of Christ, the kingdom of God. We thank you, Father. You do save those who come, who are needy, who see that they're lost, who see that they're blind. Thank you, Father, the way you work in our hearts and lives. Father, I pray that if there be anyone here today, that they would no longer wait. They would no longer live under the cloud. They would no longer live under the religion, the religious disguise and hypocrisy. But come to Christ, be saved. That many would hear thereof and fear God and trust in the Lord. Father, I give you praise. I thank you, Lord, for the godly people who were an influence in our life. Oh God, I pray, take Daniel and Christy. Cause them to be a godly influence everywhere they go, Father. I ask you to bless them with that, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. I was thinking a little bit as Manuel was sharing that how he was neighbors there to Denny, I guess, for 3 years or whatever the time was, and it was another year or so. I didn't add up all the years, 4 or 5 years, I guess, from the time he met Denny until God saved him. But then he encountered a nation. We sang it this morning in one of the hymns where it said the nations of the world. I guess that was the joy of the world. And a nation, when the Bible uses the word nation, it isn't just some big country like the United States. It's a group of people is how the Bible means it. And then he encountered a nation, a group of people. And God was there and God worked. And I guess I made the application, or I thought in my mind about Daniel going, and I wonder who will live in the mud hut next door to him or across the path or behind the path. And it may be 2 years or 3 years or 4 years or 5 years, but God is faithful, and we need to see down the road how God works in people's lives and how God finds that window that unlocks the door to their heart. And it may take a lot of times of visiting and praying and understanding their hearts and relating to them. And I'm sure Denny made a lot of mistakes. He didn't know all the right things to say, and he didn't understand how the Amish think and feel. But God's faithful, and that day came and conviction fell. So I think that's something for all of us to apply to our own lives, wherever you live and wherever I live. And I praise the Lord for the opportunity to hear a testimony this morning of the saving power through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Well, I think this morning we'll just open it up maybe for a few minutes, see if someone has something to share. You mind the Lord, either from the first message or from the testimony here that we have heard. If you would raise your hand, and we have some microphones we can get to you. Go ahead.
Yes, with the first message, verse 11 there, said when Peter came to himself after he passed through all the gates, I had to think, you know, why did he have to come to himself? Was he in a dream or in a daze? But then you go back to verse 7, and it says that the angel had to smote him to wake him up. He knew where he was going the next morning. He knew where he'd been for the last few days. But God had given him that perfect peace, that rest. He was committed to God. He knew, no matter whether he was here or there, that he was going to be with his Heavenly Father. And do we have that rest when we're in that persecution? You know, are we at peace with our Heavenly Father and those around us? It says here the angel had to smote him, and he probably really didn't get awake because he was at such peace. till he got through to that outer gate. And then when the angel left him, he was like, this is real. I'm not sleeping. Thank you for both messages.
Amen. Down front over here. Brother Ed.
Yeah, I was going to... It says here in Revelation, he read a verse, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That is nothing more powerful.
That's right.
As the testimony of the law of how we saving power is. And it took me back to the time that I got born again. About 10 minutes after I was born again, I cried for my brothers and sisters. I seen right. They were lost. It's just... The
like
religion
that.
Was just like that. My eyes were open and
right.
I recognized where I was at. For we are, here's a verse I want to read. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is what we're wrestling against when we're ruling the world. So we... Prayer is very powerful, so we need to lift up our missionaries always in prayer. The devil is out. He's desiring to have the soul of men, but the Lord should have him. He will prevail. We'll pray for you, Daniel and Christy. We'll lift you up in prayer.
Praise the Lord for that message. I thank the Lord Jesus for His mercy on me. I've come to appreciate God's conviction on my heart and realize that that's God's love for me, and be zealous, therefore, and repent. Repent before God because He wants to forgive me and wash me and cleanse me with His blood. And I just praise the Lord for showing me much of my selfishness and pride in my heart and not praying for those that are lost and reaching out to others. I just praise the Lord for everyone that spoke today and laboring in the Word and speaking God's truth this morning.
Thank you. All right. If that's all, then we'll just continue with the service. God bless each one. Power of a testimony is a wonderful thing. And I, like Brother Emmanuel, in his appeal, that if you're here and there's some of this in you or resistance, or maybe you're here and, you know, when you hear a testimony and you know there's something in your spirit, you know that's real, something bears witness in your heart that testimony you've just heard is true. It's right. And there's something that can do that. And then you wonder about your own testimony, or you wonder even if you have one. And that may be, you know, God just speaking to your heart, trying to show you where you're really at. And, you know, we can even be here at Charity and be trapped in religion, Brother Emmanuel. It doesn't have to be the Amish church. God forbid it, and yet we have to be honest, don't we? It can happen here. So don't just transfer what he said and say, oh, that's for those. No, that's for these. You know, that's for us too. So may God speak to your heart and my heart today. Well, let's continue worshiping the Lord through song and also the morning offering.
Thank you for listening to this message. We trust that it has been a blessing to you. If you would like additional sermons or a catalog, please visit our website at effortofministries.org. Call us toll free at 855-557-7902 or write to us at Effort of Ministries, 400 West Main Street, Suite 1, Ephrata, Pennsylvania, 17522. You are welcome to copy this message for free distribution. This ministry is supported by your donations. May the Lord Jesus bless you.